like to take the opportunity to thank the church for providing us with a vehicle. We knew that ours was going to die at some point, and my normal habit would be to try to make a plan and try to run out and do something, and just felt like the Lord kept saying, just wait, I'll do something, just wait. And we are thankful for that. It was a tremendous blessing. We spent a lot of time in our car. We probably spend more time in our car together than most families would on their couch. And so we kind of live in our vehicle, and we're very thankful for that. It's a tremendous burden off of our mind and as well as our parents' minds. They had run out of faith long before we had concerning our vehicle, and were chomping at the bit for us to do something with it. But we are thankful for that very much. If you have your Bibles this evening, if you'll turn to James chapter number 2. And beginning in verse 14, a very familiar discussion about faith and works. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? You may say that you care, but unless there's some sort of action that proves it, it's doubtful whether you really do or not. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He began this statement in verse 14 by saying, though a man say he hath faith, he has so-called faith, or what he calls faith, but it's doubtful that there's anything there, because there's nothing to prove it. And this passage teaches us that faith is always linked to our actions, that there are actions always linked to works, and you can't separate the two of them. It's not our message to preach on salvation and faith versus works. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. In verse number 4 here, we see that both Cain and Abel had works. They had done some things. They had both brought sacrifices to God. One was accepted, one was not. One of the things that we learn about faith in this chapter is that faith has some particular works. There are particular works that are linked to faith. Reading on, verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith has some particular tenets. There's a foundation under which faith stands, and we see that in verse number 6. First of all, the deity of God, that must believe that God is, and certain things about that, and there's a whole message just in who God is. And then the next tenet that we see there is that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One of the tenets of faith is, or foundations of faith, is who God is, first of all, and second of all, what he does, how he works, what his manners are. Real faith has its basis in this. And so if we were to work this whole thing backwards, if there's a problem with what people do, there's a problem with what they believe, and a problem with what they believe about God. And we may not, we may have trouble viewing it that way when we look at our own selves and we look at our own failures and we look at our own difficulties, our struggles in this world every day, and we analyze those and we feel as though we are very orthodox in our beliefs. So we wonder, how could that possibly be? In the day in which we live, there's a great distance. I don't know how else to put it, but a great distance between what are said are to be our theological tenets and our theological points, and what our heart truly operates on, what our heart truly believes. And if I can, I want to bring that out. You see, as Baptists, we have a certain number of things that we say that we believe. And really, if we were a little bit more honest, we should say that there are some doctrinal points that we like, but we don't necessarily really believe them. There are some doctrinal points that I love, but if I had to be honest, I don't really believe them in my heart the way I should. And that may alarm you, but if you think about it, it's very common. In fact, I would say that most today have a great distance between what their articles of faith may be and what their actual belief system is in their heart. In this chapter are described some ways that faith works, some of the things that are produced by this by real faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, we'll begin reading some of these things. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. One of the things I see in verse number 7 is that faith causes a person to move in light of the impending judgment of God. In light of the way, one of those first tenets that we saw, and the way that God does things. One of those first tenets, who God is and what he does. And God is a God that punishes sin and was going to punish the world that Noah lived in. And Noah moved in light of what God had said he was going to do. He based his life, he based the next so many years that he dedicated to building this ark, he based all of it in light of what he knew God would do. Very few today really move in light of what they know God will do. Either they don't know what God will do, or they don't believe he will do it, but very few actually move every single day in light of what God is going to do. Very few actually get up and build an ark, if you will, every day for the rest of their life. It's very rare. He moved. Notice the language there. He moved with fear. Because of what he believed, he moved with fear. Many today move very carelessly through the world. It's an epidemic. We move very carelessly, without a concern of tomorrow, without a care of impending judgment. As we look on our household, I pray every day, Lord, save my children. Save my children. Please, Lord, save my children. Save their souls. He moved every day with fear. Fear defined his actions. What was going to happen to this world defined how he lived his life for the next 100 years. Notice on verse number 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Faith obeys, very simply. It obeys without all the details. It obeys without a plan. It just obeys. What a radical change came in Abraham's life that day. We see in all of these cases radical change. Abel did something radically different than Cain. Enoch's life was so radical that God took him out of this world. Noah one day started building a massive boat in preparation of something that had never happened in history. Abraham left his home, left his dwelling place without a plan. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. God said, go. Their lives were formed radically by their faith. It was not a set of tenets, a set of theological ideas that they liked over here, but had no connection to the way they lived. I know a particular person will have nothing to do with the Lord's churches, does not attend one, goes to a non-denominational church, it's not even called a church, but will argue to the death with anybody concerning the fact that there is a Baptist bride. Will argue to the death concerning all of the tenets that we believe, yet has done more shame and despite to the Lord's churches than almost anybody else. There's an extreme disconnect between their said tenets and what is actually in their heart. And this is an epidemic today. But notice, there's many examples here in these passages in Hebrews 11. Skip down to verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He walked through an unthinkable trial. By faith when he was tried. Just think about that phrase right there. By faith when he was tried. By faith when he was tried. We're still there in the midst of a great trial. By faith when he was tried. This type of faith, this real type of faith is there no matter how dark a day may seem. It never disappears. It never vanishes, no matter what the day may hold. By faith, he walked through this trial. Skipping down to, let's read on. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able. It's interesting, the Bible is a wonderful book. Only the Bible can tell a story and tell you exactly what's in somebody's heart at the time it happened. Only the Bible can tell a story that way. And here we have in verse number 19, what exactly was in, you have to wonder what was Abraham thinking. Back when we read in Genesis, we're not told the whole story as to maybe what he was thinking. We're given the story here in verse 19. He was accounting that God was able. He was still back there on the basic tenets of faith, who God is and what he does. His life, his actions at that moment were formed by his belief system, who God was and what he does. Accounting that God was able, that was how he did what he did. He believed that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Verse 21 is a beautiful verse to me. If there's anything that, as a man, that you could attain in life, to me, to leave a parting blessing on what would be my grandsons. I don't know if I even will have grandsons or what may come of the future, but if I were to have some, what a blessed thought here that he, in the last hours of his life, blessed his grandsons and leaned upon his staff and worshiped God. By faith, Joseph, verse 22, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Concerning verses 20 through 22, faith speaks hopefully about God, about the future, about circumstances. Joseph was so certain about the promises of God that had been delivered to his father Abraham that was not their promised land, that they were leaving that place. He said, listen, I'm going to die, but after I'm dead, drag my bones out of here when you people leave this place. He was confident of what God does. He believed in who God was and what God did. And it caused him to speak hopefully and confidently. That's an area I struggle with. That's an area where my supposed tenets of theology seem to have a disconnect from my everyday life. I mean, I get down oftentimes. I get negative. I get overwhelmed with negativity. I know what God is able to do, but somehow it's very disconnected in my heart from what I believe He will do. But this real faith, it speaks hopefully, it speaks confidently. He said, when you guys leave, there was no question to Joseph, when you guys leave, take my bones out of here. Because God's going to keep His promise. In other words, get ready, because God's going to do everything that He said He was going to do. Get ready. Just get ready for it. He was not... discouraged by the fact that his people would soon be in great bondage to the Egyptians after his parting and another Pharaoh would come on the scene that didn't know him. He was not discouraged about these things. He said, get ready, because the Lord's going to do everything He said He was going to do. Speaks hopefully and confidently. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Again, we see right inside their heart. God just lays it out for you. Says this was what was in their heart when they did this. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 23 brings us a very interesting balance concerning faith. They did hide Moses, but they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Faith is not unnecessary risk. They didn't take unnecessary risks. They didn't live ridiculous lives. They hid Moses. But they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not hiding in fear. I would be hiding in fear. That's the disconnect. That's the difference between what we say we believe about God and what we actually believe about God is I would be hiding and I would be scared. They were hiding and were not scared. Fear, just that idea of fear of the circumstances, fear of another power, is a great discredit to what we protest or profess to be our faith. And yet, it's a very hard thing to shake. It's there. If we were honest, it's there. Fear. We're afraid of the commands of this world, the commands of things that happen around us. We fear the gas pump, we fear the elections, we fear all kinds of things. Fear. What an interesting statement that the Bible makes. They didn't fear. Yes, they hid their son, they didn't take unnecessary risk, but they did not fear. This is the disconnect between what we say we have concerning faith and what real faith actually is. A real belief system. What they actually believed about God was that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not that he could be, not that sometimes he has been, but that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He will do it. He will make good on his promise. And they obeyed without fear. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We see in verse 25 that Moses, first of all, knew that it was very temporary. This trial, Moses had taken this trial and he had put it in a box. I mean, he had bound it up and he had made it small in his eyes. He said that he would rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he boxed it up and he said, that's short, that's fleeting, and I can go through that. It's short, it's small, and I can deal with that. And he said in verse 26, we see inside Moses' heart again, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater. He had more respect and esteem for the Lord Jesus Christ and more loyalty to him. And this was why he did what he did. It goes back to those two basic things, who God is and what he does. And because who God is and what he does, Moses put that little trial in a box and he said, I'm just going to deal with this. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. See that phrase again, not fearing the wrath of the king. Oh, he got out of there. He didn't take unnecessary risks, but he did not fear the wrath of the king. If he had feared the wrath of the king in his flesh, he would not have done what he did. He would have not been so obstinate. He would not have refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He would not have done what he did to the Egyptians that were smiting one of his people. He could have just gone with the flow. Life would have been good. And that's where many are today. Just go with the flow. They say that they believe all of these things over here, but they just go with the flow. Don't rock the boat. All of these people had a radical change in their life because of their faith. What they believed made them starkly different than everything else that was going on around them and everything else that everyone expected. Because of his faith, he chose immediate affliction. Faith needs no immediate solution. He was able to just look down the road a little bit further. He didn't need an immediate solution. So he made his decision, not fearing the wrath of the king. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover, sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You know it. They didn't get laxed in that idea of the Passover. Faith, this faith that it holds on to these tenets, holds on to these doctrines, it holds on to these things. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Faith, it moves forward. Keep on moving. No matter what difficulty, ignoring the mounting waters on either side, the same waters that swallowed the Egyptians up, they moved on. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. It's an interesting story, the story of Jericho. They didn't talk. They didn't say anything. No weapons of war. No tools to bring down the wall. No hammers, no chisels. They took this problem that was there and they just marched around it. They just marched around it for a week. could learn a lot from that story. If we really, really believed in who God was and the nature of what he does, just take a problem and just march around it for a week. Don't come up with a plan. Don't come up with a solution. Don't get busy. Just march around it. You just march around it for a while. Don't say anything to anybody. Don't do anything. Just march around it. Faith is able to do that. Faith is able to say, I know you got this, Lord. You let me know what to do. He told them on the seventh day to shout. They shouted on the seventh day, and the walls came down. But they just kept on marching. You just keep on marching. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. That'd be a hard thing. If you had enough faith to believe that God's people were going to be victorious, I'm not sure I would then have enough faith to be sure I was going to be okay in the midst of all that. But she both believed that God was going to destroy that city, and she believed that he was going to preserve her when everything around her was going to crumble. That takes some faith. Everything around you is going to crumble, and it's going to touch everything but you. That is no harder for God than anything else that he ever does. But oh, it seems really tough to us. It's a really hard one. She stayed. You know, faith stays. Sometimes faith just stays. It just stays. I'd have been going down that same red rope that let the other guys out my window. But sometimes faith just stays. Back in verse 30, sometimes it just lays down its tools, silences its voices, and just marches. It just marches. Sometimes in verse 31, it just stays. That's it. Just stays. We saw in the hearts of some of these people, we saw that one of them, it says, as seeing him who is invisible, concerning Moses, that he esteemed the reproaches of Christ. Concerning Sarah and conceiving Isaac, it said that she judged him faithful. Turn back there to Sarah in verse 11. Through faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We see right into the hearts of these individuals in Hebrews 11. And we see all of them leaning on some of these just basic tenets: who God is and what he does. Who he is and what he does, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently, it's part of the way that's worded there, this, that it is part of his fabric of what he is. And that'll never change. It's part of the fabric of who he is that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And all of these, they just rested in that. But there is a great disconnect today. We say we believe a lot of things. But really, if Baptists today were really honest, if I was really honest, there's a great disconnect between what I believe about the sovereignty of God, what I say I believe, and what I actually believe. I wish that they were one and the same. What I say I believe about the sovereignty of God and what I actually believe, I wish they were right on the same line. If we were honest, many would say, I believe God could be sovereign, but in the day and age we live in, he doesn't really work that way anymore. If we were honest, we would say, I believe this is a good book, but I don't really think it is the Word of God. Because if we really believed that, we'd be a lot more different about it. It would be very different. I know that that is what our Articles of Faith says, but there's a gap. There's a gap between what Baptists really believe today and what we say we believe. If we were honest, we would say, I believe I can earn God's favor. Many times, we think we can patch things up with God. I believe my good outweighs my bad. These are things that, thoughts that we may not fully think out, but they're down there somewhere in many hearts. If we were honest about it, we would say, well, God is going to judge me in light of how everybody else is doing. All in all, I've done better than so-and-so. Those thoughts, they go through our mind. We may not think them out all the way to the end and say them out loud and realize how ridiculous they sound. But they're there. We would say that God is not omnipresent. He's rather far away. He's not anywhere near. And I know what the Bible says, but sin isn't as bad as God says it really is. And I don't think the consequences will really fall on me. There's a lot of things that we actually believe that are contrary to what we would say that we believe. And if we were to say them out loud, they would sound really ridiculous. If you turn to the book of Exodus, in Exodus, and I didn't have this written down, but the children of Israel, Moses had gone up into the mountain, and he had been gone for a long time, and the children of Israel, you know, they said, as for this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. And they went and got Aaron, and they said to Aaron, make us gods which shall go before us. And after they got done making these gods, Aaron turns to the people and he said, these be thy gods that delivered thee from the land of Egypt. These be thy gods that, well, how can that be? He just made them. But you know what? We're just as ridiculous at times. Some of the things we say are just, some of the things we really believe are just as ridiculous. It says in our money, in God we trust. Without the Lord holding together our economic system, it would crumble. But if we were really honest, it feels better to have money than it does than to not. We don't really, in God we trust. We to a large degree, we do trust in what we have. And it would be ridiculous to say that golden calf could spare them from the judgment of eternity, but you know, we begin to trust in some of these other things, and we get just as ridiculous as that statement, these be thy gods which have delivered thee from the land of Egypt. We know that nothing that we've ever been delivered from, were we ever delivered from by anything but God. But yet today it will feel better to have a little money, to have some of those things. We live in a world where we have every kind of insurance there is. We have gap insurance to fill in the gaps between what's covered and what's not. We have backup generators. I'm guilty of it. You know, we've got backups for our backups and copies of our copies, and there's a great void, there's a great distance between what we really say we believe about who God is and what He does. If we were honest, we would say, I'm not really sure if prayer works. I'm not really sure. Because if we really believed it did, we'd spend a lot more time doing it. We'd never miss a prayer band. We'd be on our knees at every moment that we could. We live in a day where this is epidemic. And we deceive ourselves. because we believe ourselves to be orthodox. I believe myself to be orthodox, that I believe myself to believe everything that is true, and I want to believe everything that's true. And we fool ourselves into thinking that has made us to some stature of a Christian or a believer, and there's a distance there between what we would really jump out there and stand on, what we would really base our lives upon, is far different than what we say we like is doctrine. And I'm confessing that personally, that I would like to believe more in my heart that God is sovereign. Because I know at times I lean to myself. At times I'm scared to jump out there. At times I can't be like Peter. I can't just jump out there in the water. And we need to take an inventory. Look at ourselves and see, is my supposed tenets of faith on the same page as what I really do every day? Because as we saw there, that there's a link, there's a direct link between what we do and what we believe. And therefore, what we believe must actually be much different than what we say we believe. Because as James said, if a man say he hath faith, what does that profit? If you say so-called faith, we have a lot of so-called faith in the day that we live in. We'll stop there.